Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Ayin Gimel. Yesterday, with the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Beis and Mabez, we had started discussing a tactic that could be used by both a father and by a Baal or by an Arus who is a Talmud Chacham, and what they could do immediately before the Nisuin in order to make sure that all of the nedarim that a woman may have taken up until the point of Nisuin would be annulled. And we know, again, in order for an Arusa's nedarim to be annulled, in order to have a hafara of the nedarim of an Arusa, you need both the hafara of the Av and the hafara of the Baal. We also know that hafara is, we don't know, that's what the Kasha is about, but we assume that hafara is only possible by a neder that the Av or the Baal heard of. And so the Mishnah tells us that one thing that the Av and the Baal could do is that the Av can say, look, all nedarim that you made until this time are mufar, and the Baal says, all nedarim that you've made until this time are mufar, and it's important for the Arus to do that before he becomes a Baal for an Asua, because ein Baal mefer bekodman. So the Arus will do that, and you know, through that co-annulment of the Nedarim, through that joint annulment of the Nedarim with the Av and the Baal, all of the girls' Nedarim will be annulled. They'll all be mufar at the point of her marriage. So the Gemara we saw yesterday had started the discussion back and forth. Does this Mishnah indicate that the Av or the Baal does not have to hear the Nedarim in order to be made for them? Because what's happening is that the person says, all nedarim that you've made up until this time are mufar. It's mashma when you read the Mishnah that in fact the nedarim were not heard, that he didn't hear about the nedarim before they were annulled. And the Mishnah said, no, lav dafka. Maybe what it means is that this is basically sort of a conversation point. It's a topic of conversation and a conversation starter, really, so that when the guy says, oh, all nedarim that you've made up until this time, they're mufar, it doesn't mean that they're immediately mufar. It means that it's a springboard to get her to start conversing about all the nedarim that she made. And once she's mefaret all of those nedarim, then he says, oh, that neder is mufar. So we were back and forth with the rayas as to whether a baal or an av has to hear the neder before he's made for the neder. So we are going to pick up. We're going to pick up from two lines up from the wide lines on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, which is going to continue this conversation. And the Gemara is then going to discuss, well, what happens if you have a cheresh? If you have a cheresh who can't hear a medaber veino shamea, so can the cheresh ever be mefer the nedarim of his wife or of his daughter? So that's also going to depend on ishmiya dafka or is it lav dafka? So we'll see that as well. And then on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, it's going to be a Mishnah that we already started discussing, or we at least alluded to and quoted from a couple of days ago. It's regarding the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim of what happens if you have a girl whose engagement period has elapsed. In other words, we had said that for a besula, we give her 12 months, or we give him 12 months to prepare for the wedding. For an almana, we give 30 days. And for a bogeres, the Mishnah says we give 30 days, but really what happens is we give 12 months less the amount of time that has elapsed since she became a bogeres. So they have a certain amount of time to prepare for the wedding. After that period of time elapses, so we'll see the sheets of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, because the Baal is chayev b'mizonoseh, because the Baal is chayev to support her at that time, he also takes over some of the zchuyos of being married, and he's also able to be made for an adarim. We're going to see machlokas in the Gemara, whether if the husband is a kohen, whether she's allowed to eat truma, and we're going to try to link. And we're going to try to link the machlokas of whether she's allowed to eat his truma after that period of time elapses, but before the actual nesuin takes place, with is he allowed to be mefer her nedarim after the time for engagement elapses, but before the time for nesuin takes place. So we'll see that, God willing, on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So let's start again, two lines up from the wide lines on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, another raya, or another attempted raya, in the issue to resolve the question of whether the Baal has to hear about the neder before being made for the neder. So Tashmas, it says the Gemara like this, Omer l'apotropos, if a person says to an apotropos, to an administrator, he's going on a trip, so he says, Kol nedarim shenaderes ish ishti mikan v'acha avom mimakam ploni. Any nedarim that my wife takes from now until I get back from my trip, hafer. So you should be made for the nedarim. V'hafer la, and let's say the apotropos actually does that. So any nedarim that the woman makes before the fellow gets back from his trip, he is mefer. Yachol yu mufarin. I might think that they might be mufar. I might think that the afara might be valid. So Talmud Lomar says, the Gemara, no, it's not, because the Pasuk says, Isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu. That it's the husband who has to be, who could be mekayim the neder. It's the husband who would have to be made for the neder. And here it's not the husband, divrei Rav Yoshia. So that's what Rav Yoshia says. That over here, there's a gzeiras hakasav of isha yikimenu, isha yiferenu. It's dafka isha, it's not the apotropos. So says the Gemara, Rav Yonah says to Rav Yoshia, so matzina b'chol ha-Torah kula shlucha shel adam kamoso, that we see b'chol ha-Torah kula shlucha shel adam kamoso. In other words, we see by a lot of mitzvos, except for a mitzvah shebeguf, right, so you can't appoint a shliach to put on tefillin for you, and except for the Rishonim explain over here, except for something that's totally passive, perhaps. So in other words, you can appoint a shliach to do an action. The question is, can you appoint a shliach to do something totally passive? There's no action on which the shlichus would take effect. What's an example of this? So the Rosh says a potential example of this might be shmia. So when you hear something, you're not actively hearing something. According to the way the Rosh describes it is, memela, if you're in a place where there's noise and you're there, you'll hear it. So there is a question, says the Rosh, whether you're able to appoint a shliach to be mefer a neder, because if being mefer a neder is contingent on actually hearing the neder, hearing is something that's passive, and it may not be something that's eligible for shlichas. But generally speaking, the halacha is shulcho shladam kamoso, that if you could do something, you could appoint a shliach to do something. So says Rav Yonasan, why in the world can't you appoint an apotropos to be mefer the nedarim of your wife? So says the Gemara, Vafilu Rav Yoshia lo kamar, elimishum de gzeiras akasavu, and even Rav Yoshia says that this type of shlichas doesn't work here for some reason. He'll say it's only because of the gzeiras akasav of Yishayi Kimenu v'Yishayi Feirenu, because over here we have a specific gzeiras akasav. Aval de kuli yama shlucho shel adam kamoso, but everybody would agree that shlucho shel adam kamoso, that were it not for the gzeiras hakasav of ishayi kimenu, ishayi farenu, you'd be allowed to appoint an apotropos as a shliach to be made for the nedarim. Aye, if you're out of town and you're appointing the apotropos to be made for the nedarim, halo shmiale, you didn't hear the nedarim. So how in the world can you? How in the world can you appoint the apotropos? As a shliach to be made for an adarim if you didn't hear them? It's obvious, therefore, says the Gemara. The Gemara implies that you don't have to hear them. Why is it obvious that you don't have to hear them? Maybe you do have to hear them, and what you've done is you've appointed the shliach, you've appointed the apotropos as a shliach to be made for the nedarim, and maybe once the apotropos hears about the nedarim, it's okay. How's this a raya that the Baal doesn't have to hear about the nedarim either? So the Ron explains, because we have a concept that anything that he wouldn't be able to do, he's not able to appoint a shliach to do either. So it's impossible, it's going to be impossible, therefore, that the apotropos has a greater koach than the Baal does. It's impossible to confer upon your shliach a greater koach than the meshaleach has himself. So therefore it comes out, if it were possible, absent the gzeiras hakasav, if it were possible for the apotropos to be mefer the nedarim, and mistama, we're dealing with a case where the apotropos is around, the Baal is in Medina Sayyam or somewhere abroad, so he doesn't hear about the nedarim, it would appear that the Baal doesn't have to hear about the neder himself, because if the Baal did have to hear about the neder himself, he wouldn't be able to be made for the neder absent hearing it. And if he himself personally is not able to be made for the neder, then it can't be that the apotropos could be made for the neder, because the shaliach can't have a greater koach to do something than the mishaleach. So says the Gemara, Hachanami damar le l'chi shamana. Mefer Lo. No, what he's telling him over here, what he's telling the Apotropos over here, is that when you hear about the neder, you should be mefer the nedarim. Now the Ron says, what does this mean over here? So the Apotropos is telling the wife that the neder is going to be mufar, not when the Apotropos hears about the neder again, because it's not enough. Assuming you think that it's critical for the neder to be heard in order to be mufar, and the Baal is only making the Apotropos a shliach, it would not be enough for the Apotropos to hear about the neder. It would actually have to be the Baal who's hearing about the neder, because the shliach can't have a greater koach than the mishaleach. So the Ron explains over here, exactly like that, that the Apotropos is telling the woman that your nedarim are going to be mufar when the Baal hears about the neder, because the Apotropos' koach can't be greater than the Baal, and the Baal can't be mefer until he hears about the neder. So that's what the Apotropos is saying. So he's appointing this guy in advance, but the guy isn't really doing anything before the Baal gets home, because all the Apotropos is telling her is that your neder that you just made is going to be mufar when your husband returns and hears about the neder. That's all he's doing. So says the Gemara, well, if that's all he's doing, why do you need the Apotropos at all? So l'chi shama leferla. Let the guy go to Medina Sayyam, let him go on his trip. When he comes back, he'll hear about her Nadarim. And when he hears about her Nadarim, he'll be made for the Nadarim. What's he appointing the Apotropos at all? It doesn't appear that the Apotropos even has a koach to do anything. So says the Gemara, Husavar Dilma Matridna. That maybe he's going to be busy when he gets back, and therefore he's appointing an Apotropos to tell her that, oh, your husband, when he gets back and hears about the Nadarim, he's going to be made for the Nadarim, and therefore the husband has the ability to come back from his business trip, and all he needs to do is he needs to hear about the Nadarim. And once he hears about the Nadarim, the Afara is going to take effect. He doesn't have to remember, he doesn't have to have the presence of mind to actually make this declaration of Afara when he returns. So the Ron is bothered over here. Still, why is he appointing a shliach at all? Why is appointing the Apotropos any different than saying to your wife, forget about the middleman, why doesn't the guy just say to his wife before he leaves, any nedarim that you make between now and the time that I return are going to be mufar when I hear about them? Right? It's the same concept. He can't make the afara effective now before he hears about them, because the assumption now is that you need to hear about the nether in order to be made for it. But we also see that a prior declaration of afara to take effect when you hear about the nether is also good. So why do you need the Apotropos at all? Just say to the woman, say to your wife, when I come back, any nedarim that you make between now and the time that I come back, when I hear about them, they're going to be mufar. Why do you need the Apotropos? So the Ron says, because the danger in doing it that way, the danger in doing it by making the declaration yourself personally to your wife before you leave, is that that declaration cannot be retracted. Because once he says, any nedarim that you make between now and the time I get back, as soon as I hear about them, they're going to be mufar, he can't retract. He can't retract that sort of pre-wired hafara, and the concern of the Baal is that he might come back from Medina Sayyam or wherever he is, he might come back, and when he hears about the Nadarim, it might in fact be a neder that he's fine with. But because he already made the pre-stipulation, any neder that you make between now and the time that I got back, that I get back, when I return and hear about them, they are going to be mufar. He doesn't have an option then to back out of his, he doesn't have an option any longer to back out of his afara. And he does not want a afara that is not capable of being retracted. That's why he appoints a shliach. Now, because the shlichus can always be retracted. So at any point during his trip, between the time that he appoints the shliach and the time that he gets back, he could say, you know what, shliach, I retract my shlichus. You are no longer authorized to serve as this conduit for hafara for me, and therefore when I get back, my wife's nedarim are not revoked, even after I hear about them. So the Ron wants to say that while he can retract on the shlichus, he can't retract on that declaration of hafara that he would make before he would go on his business trip. So that's why we would get the shlichus involved. Explains the Ran. So says the Gemara now, three lines down, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So a similar question. Boy Rami Bar Chama asks, poses the following question. Chayresh, Mao Sheyafer LeIshto. Can he be mefer the Nedarim of his wife? So can a Chayresh, who the Ran explains is a Medaber Veino Shemeya, can he be mefer the Nedarim of his wife? Simtim Salomar Baal Mefer Below Shmiya. So if you want to say that maybe a husband, or an ordinary guy, can be mefer the nedarim without hearing them, well, maybe that's mishum debar mishmahu. Maybe that's because he is capable of hearing the nedarim, and therefore, even if he doesn't hear the neder, maybe still because he's capable of hearing, it's going to be enough. It's going to be good enough. Avol cheresh delav bar mishmahu. But however, a cheresh who is not capable, but a cheresh who's not capable of hearing, Hainu de Rav Zera. Maybe we would apply the principle of Rav Zera. So we'll get to the principle of Rav Zera in a second. But again, the Rosh explained over here that we're talking, when we say Cheresh, we're talking about a Medaber Ve'eno Shamea, that he's capable of speaking, he's just not capable of hearing. However, a Cheresh Midrabanan, a Cheresh who is not able to speak, apparently it's Pashat, that Cheresh will not be able to be Mefer Nedarim. Why? Because Hafara is done... through speech. Hafara is done by articulating the hafara. The cheresh, a cheresh who doesn't know how to speak, a cheresh who can't talk, cannot be mefer nedarim with his voice, with his mouth, through speech. He can only do it beremiza, and therefore he's not able to be mefer nedarim. The Rosh says that also if the guy can't speak, another reason that he's not able to be mefer nedarim is because he can't effectuate a kedushin midaraisa. Because in order to have a kedushin midaraisa, he needs to be able to say, he needs to be able to articulate the kedushin, hare at mekudeshesli. But he can't do it, and therefore he doesn't have a real kedushin, and that's why he can't be mefer the nedarim. The Achronim ask that it doesn't make any sense, because the whole concept for Hafara, we're going to see on, we've already seen, but we'll see again on Amud Beis, at the end of today's shir, is Kol Noderes Al Das Baila Hi Noderes, that anybody who's making a neder is making a neder Al Das Baila. And that's what gives the Baal the Koach of Hafara. So if that's what gives the Baal the Koach of Hafara, that Kol Noderes Al Das Baila Hi Noderes, does it really make a difference whether the guy's made for the Nedarim Buramiza or whether he's made for the Nedarim Bedibur? It doesn't really make sense. As long as she had in mind when she's making the neder that it's Al Das Baila, however her Baal can manifest his Das, isn't that enough? So the Achronim explain that that the derech of hafara, the derech of being made for the neder, is through dibur, and that yes, even though it is kolano deres al das bali hino deres, the act of hafara itself inherently is one of dibur, and therefore, if you have a person who's incapable of speech, he just simply is incapable of performing an act of hafara. Yet the rationale for applying hafara may apply to a cheresh that's eno medaber, but the ability to conduct the basic act of hafara, which we're defining as dibur or involving dibur, that can only be accomplished by somebody who can speak, cannot be accomplished by somebody who is incapable of speech. So that would be by an eno medaber. However, over here again, explain the Rosh, in our Gemara, what we're talking about is a medaber ve'eno shamea. It's a guy who's capable of speaking, but the fellow cannot hear. So we asked, well, can he be mefer nedarim? And we wanted to say that even if you want to say that the Baal can be mefer without hearing the nedarim, maybe that's only because he's capable of hearing the nedarim. However, a cheresh who's not capable of ever hearing the nedarim, maybe he can't be mefer her nedarim. So, and we said that maybe it's a principle of Rav Zera. So what's the principle of Rabbi Zera? So that's a famous principle, Dhamma Rabbi Zera. Call a roi lebila ain bila ma kevespo. If you have a carbon mincha that's roi lebila, that is, the carbon mincha was made of there was a ratio of 1 to 60. It was 60 parts flour to 1 part oil. And one of the parts of the avoda of the carbon mincha was mixing the flour with the oil. Now, the avoda of mixing the flour with the oil was not an avoda that's ma'akev. It was not ma'akev to the mincha. However, Rab Zera says, if you fail to mix the mincha, it's not ma'akev, but only if the mincha was capable of being mixed. Only if the ratio of flour to oil was either 160 to 1 or less. However, if it's a mincha that was incapable of being mixed, v'chol she'ein roi lebila, bila makeves bo. If it's a mincha that was incapable of being mixed because the ratio of flour to oil was greater than 60 to 1, then mixing is going to be ma'akev. So it's a little paradoxical. The time when an action is not ma'akev is only when that action was capable of being fulfilled, of capable of being accomplished. But if you have a situation where the action is incapable of being accomplished, then we're going to say it's ma'akev. So apply to this case. When do you say that a baal can be made for the nedarim even without hearing? That's only because he's capable of hearing. But if you have somebody who's incapable of hearing, maybe it would be ma'akev in that case, according to the principle of Rabbi Zeira. So odilma, or maybe, v'shama isha lo ma'akva, or lo ma'akev, or maybe just generally in the pasuk, in the whole parsha of Afaras Nedarim, where it says v'shama isha, and the guy hears about it, maybe that's just talking about the milsa d'shchiach. Maybe that's just talking about the, you know, stam derech of people who are generally able to hear. But maybe v'shama isha is lav davka, and if v'shama isha is lav davka, then both a cheresh, a medaber v'ein shamea, would be able to be made for nedarim, and a baal who doesn't hear about a neder would be able to be made for nedarim, because the whole concept of v'shama isha is lav davka. So is not ma'akev. So Amar Rava. So Rava says like this: Toshma v'shama isha, that it says v'shama isha in the pasuk prat leishes cheresh. It comes to exclude an eishes cheresh. So it comes to exclude dafka an eishes cheresh. So the Ran explains in the name of the Ramban that it's dafka a cheresh who cannot be mafer nedarim because of this gzeiras hakasuv. However, la halacha the Ramban paskins that let's leave what the Ramban says until we finish up the Gemara. But it's dafka by an eishes cheresh that we have this gzeiras hakasuv. But v'shama isha doesn't teach me anything about a situation of a regular husband, and whether a regular husband can be made for an adorim of his wife without hearing them. Because this gzeiras hakasuv relates specifically to a cheresh and his inability to be made for an adorim. So it says the Gemara, shmamina, so ibailu. This is the end of that discussion. So the Ran quotes the Ramban, who says that by a regular bar shmiya, by a regular husband, he is able to be mayfair the nedarim. He is able to be mayfair the nedarim even without hearing them, because this gzeiras hakasuv, as we saw, relates specifically to a cheresh, but it doesn't apply to a regular guy who's capable of hearing. Says the Ran, We brought many attempted rayos to prove that the husband doesn't have to hear about the nedarim before being made for them, and we always wound up being doche those rayos because we said, no, really, he did hear about them. You know, there were all these cases where we thought what we were being told was that the baal could be made for the nedarim either in advance or even without hearing about them. And the Gemara said, no, l'chi shamana. What it means is l'chi shamana. When he hears about them, they're going to be mufar. So the Ran says, yeah, I mean, what the Ramban will say is that even though the Gemara deflects all of these attempted rayos that the baal doesn't have to hear about the neder in order to be made for the neder, all of those attempted deflections, they're all shinui dechuka, because dechika. They're all very forced terutzim over here. But really, what's mistaber from all of these brisos and what's pashut, you know, even when you read the Mishnah about the father making a declaration that all of the nedarim of his daughter should be mufar, So we kvetched out a teretz. No, what it means is that he really engages her in a conversation, and in the context of the conversation, she will articulate all of the nedarim, and when she articulates all of her nedarim, that's when the baal is going to be made for the neder. Yeah, you're right. So we were mataritz it like that, but the pashup shot is that the guy is making stama declaration, even without hearing about the nedarim, that they're mufar. So says the Ran, that's why the Ramban says that it's dafka by a cheresh that he cannot be made for nedarim, but a baal, paskins the Ramban, can be made for the nedarim of his wife, even without hearing them. Okay, so Iboilu, the Gemara now poses a different question. So Baal Mao Sheyafar L'Shtei Nasha B'Basachas. So can a husband be mefer the nedarim of his two wives B'Basachas? Or for that matter, can a father be mefer the nedarim of two daughters B'Basachas? So Osa Dafka, it says Yani Osa. It talks about being made for the Nedarim of Osa. Is it Dafka? Olav Dafka. So is this Osa? Is it Dafka? Is it Dafka or not? The Ran explains, the Pasuk says, Biyom Shamoa Isha Yani Osa. And this inquiry pertains both to a husband and to a father. Can the husband be made for the nedarim of two wives simultaneously? Can a father be made for the nedarim of two daughters simultaneously? Or is Osa Dafka? Does it mean only her? You have to focus on one of the women at once. So Amar Ravina Tashma. Well, we try to bring a raya from the following. Ein mashken shtesh sotos ka'achas. You cannot give two sotos to drink from the Mei Amarim at once. Why? B'mnei Shaliba Gas B'chavrata. Because, again, the Mei Amarim is what the Sota drinks after she's suspected of adultery, and if she's clear from sin, then she'll just drink it down, and you know, her stomach and her offspring and her innards will all be blessed, and she'll have a lot of children, etc., etc., etc. But if she was guilty of what her husband suspected her, then the Mei Amarim is going to cause her stomach to burst, and she's going to die. And what we also know about the Mei Amarim is that the Shem Hashem was written in the Mei Amarim, and this is one of the paradigmatic examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mevatar on his own kavod in order to promote Shalom Bayis. We had this a couple of weeks ago. We had this concept a couple of weeks ago when the Amoraim were humiliating themselves for the sake of Shalom Bayis, and one of them was making a comparison to the Mei Sota. But the halacha is that the Mei Sota, it's supposed to be a scary proposition, that the woman is basically facing this choice where she could drink the Mei Sota, but she knows that if she's lying and if she's actually guilty of what the husband suspects her of doing, then she's going to die. Now the Gemara says that you are not able to give two sotos to drink at the same time. Why? Mimnesha libogas bechavrata. Because she is going to be peer pressured into drinking the Mei Sota. Drinking the Mei Sota is a very serious thing, not only because she might die, but also because we're causing a mechikas Hashem, because we're putting the parchment with that Kadosh Baruch Hu's name into the drink, and therefore we want the Mei Sota to be administered in a way where the woman is only going to be thinking, do I really want to do this? Is it really worth it for me to drink the Mei Sota? But if there's somebody else, if her friend is there, she's going to be embarrassed, humiliated, and peer pressured into drinking the Mei Sota, because she's not going to want to admit her guilt in front of her friend, and so she's going to be peer pressured into doing it. Then she's going to die, which is sad, but she's guilty of death, you know, because she did what she did, so whatever. But what the Gemara is really concerned about is, you're going to cause a mechikas Hashem by peer pressuring her into drinking the Mei Sota. So we want to say that just like you're not able to give two sotos bevas achas, so too you should not be able to, that's not the right. And Rav Yehuda says, Lomen Hashem Uzeh. No, the reason that you don't give two sotos bevas achas has nothing to do with libo gaspa. And lemishum shenemar veishke osa levada. It's only because it says over there in the pasuk of veheshka osa levada. It's because the word veheshka is written with a mapek hey, says the Ran, and veheshka is mashma with a mapek hey. It's mashma osa dafka. So we've brought now a raya from sota, where by sota, the reason that you're not allowed to give two sotas to drink bavas achas doesn't have to do with the fact that she might be peer pressured. It has to do with the basis of gzeiras hakasav, where the gzeiras hakasav says osa, and osa means dafka one at a time, not two at a time. So when we have the pasuk of a shama isha v'yani osa, by nedarim also, says the Ran, osa is dafka, so the nedarim cannot be, so the husband or the father cannot be made for the nedarim of the husband cannot be made for the nedarim, rather, of two of his wives, bevas achas, nor can a father be made for the nedarim of two of his daughters, bevas achas, because it says osa. Just like osa and sota is dafka, it means her alone, so to osa by nedarim is osa dafka, it means her alone. The Ran then says at the end over here that lahalacha, just like you can't be made for the nedarim of two wives, bevas achas, so too you cannot be mekayim the nedarim of two wives, bevas achas. Because just like the word osa, which is written by hafara, is dafka, so too the word osa, which is written by kiyam, is also going to be dafka. That, and in addition, we've seen already that we compare that we're makish in many respects hafara to a kiyam. All right, so that was the conclusion of all of these questions. Again, la halacha, the Ran had cited the Ramban, who said that la halacha, the husband doesn't have to hear the nedarim in order to be mayfair. But we resolve the other question: the husband can be made for the nedarim only of one of his wives, or the father can be made for the nedarim of only one of his daughters, bevas achas. Okay, so says the Mishnah now, top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So bogeres sheshoasa yud beis chodesh, a bogeres who awaits around the 12 months that she's given to prepare for her wedding, and the Ran says that we've already corrected this girsa last time we cited this Gemara on Daf Ayin when we cited this Mishnah, we corrected the girsa and we revised it to bogeres v'sheshoasa yud beis chodesh. In other words, a bogeres who we assume is given 30 days, but again, she's not really given 30 days. She's given a year less the amount of time that has elapsed since she became a bogeres. So again, a girl becomes a bogeres when she's 12 years and 6 months old. So let's say she gets engaged when she's 13, even, so she will have a year less the amount of time that elapsed. A year less 6 months is she'll have another 6 months. But in the case of bogeres where she has 30 days, that we're talking about a case where the girl gets engaged when she's 13 years and 5 months old. So therefore, there's only 30 days difference between a year minus 11 months is 30 days. But a bogeres has, we'll say 30 days for simplicity's sake, or a besula who's not a bogeres, who's a nara, who will have 12 months that will allow to elapse for the erusin before we can force the husband to take her in nisuin, or before the designated time for nisuin arrives. So v'almana, so bogeres shoshasa yud beis chodesh v'almana lamed yom, and an almana who waits around for 30 days. And again, the preparations that are required for an almana to get married are less elaborate than the preparations for a besula, and therefore an almana is given only 30 days. So Rabbi Eliezer omer hol balachayv mizonoseh yafer. So Rabbi Eliezer says that because the husband is obligated to support her after the zman of erusin concludes and the zman nisuin comes, he's obligated to support her even though he hasn't actually taken her a nisuin yet. Even though he actually hasn't done the nisuin, once the time for nisuin comes, he's obligated to support her. He's chayv b'mizonos. The chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, ein abal mefer ashet tekanes l'rishuso. No. That the baal is not made for an adarim until he actually does the nisuin. Even if the time for nisuin has arrived, he's still not made for an adarim until he actually does the nisuin. Who's the chachamim? So the Ran says the chachamim is mistama Rabbi Yeshua, who's the bar plukta of Rabbi Eliezer throughout Shas. So in any event, here we have a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Can the Baal be mefer the Nedarim after the time for Nisuin arrives, even if he hasn't done Nisuin yet? So Amar Rava, Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Rishona, Amru Davar Echad, that Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona that we're going to cite in a moment say the same thing. So Dithnan, what's the Mishnah Rishona? Nostin lebesula yud beis chodesh lefarnes atzma, that we give a besula 12 months to prepare for the wedding. Higia yud beis chodesh, if once 12 months elapse, then ocheles mishelo, v'ocheles betruma, then she eats from the husband. In other words, Baal Chaya b'mezon oseh, and she eats truma if her husband is a kohen, she can eat truma. Now, so let's just review over here. The Ran gives us a whole introduction. Midoraisa in Arusa is permitted to eat a truma if her Arus is a Kohen from the time of Arus. And why? Because the Psukim, Lagabe Achilas Truma and Lagabe Macholas Truma, talk about Kinyan Kaspo. Any Kinyan Kesef of a Kohen may eat truma, and the woman is considered to be Kinyan Kaspo from the time that she's in Arusa. So Midoraisa, as soon as there's Arusin, she should be able to eat truma. However, the Rabbanan prohibited her to eat truma until the Nisuin, because we were concerned that because of one of two concerns. Either we were concerned that she might come to feed her Yisrael brothers and sisters truma, because again, during the time of Erisin, she's not yet living with her husband, she's living in her father's house, and if she's taking truma from her husband's house and bringing it back to her father's house, we're afraid she might be sharing it with her siblings or her parents. Another concern that the Chachamim had, another concern that they had, is that right now they're only in Erisin. What happens if during Erisin he does a bedika and sees that maybe she's not as attractive as he thought and decides not to go through with the wedding? So then there will never have been a Nisuin, and it's going to turn out that the whole Erisin was meaningless, yet she was eating truma the whole time. So it's going to turn out that she was eating truma inappropriately. However, the Mishnah Rishona says that once the designated time for marriage arrives, we do allow her to eat truma, and we're not afraid for any of these things. Why? Well, because once the designated time of marriage arrives, the Arus will designate a specific place for her to eat truma, and she's no longer going to be taking the truma back to her father's house, so there's no longer a concern that she might feed her brothers and sisters truma. And also, once the designated time for marriage arrives, by that time he will certainly have deputized one of his relatives to perform a bedika on her. And therefore, we're not afraid that the Arusin is going to break anymore. So we're not afraid that it's going to turn out that she ate truma when she really wasn't an Arusa. So that's the Svara for the Mishnah Rishona. Avala Yavam, but continuing in the Brisa, but a Yavam ain't a machel betruma. But she can't eat truma on account of her Yavam. Now it's interesting because the Yavam is also a Kohen, obviously, because the Yavam is the brother of her Arus, who was a Kohen, but she can't eat truma on account of the Yavam. Why? Because the Yavam hasn't done Yibam yet. And again, the reason that Midoraisa, she's able to eat truma from Shas Erisin, is because she's Kinyan Kaspo, but she's not Kinyan Kaspo of the Yavam. The Yavam takes on account of the Kinyan of the brother, so it's indirect. Okay, now Asa Shisha Chadashim b'fnei Abal v'Shisha Chadashim b'fnei Yavam. If the Besula was for 6 months before the Baal and 6 months before the Yavam, v'afilu kulam b'fnei Abal chaser yom echad. Even if she did the entire time period before the Baal, except for one day, it was 11 months and 29 days. O kulam b'fnei Yavam chaser yom echad, or all of them before the Yavam, except for one day, then eino ocheles betruma, then she's not able to eat truma, zu mishnah rishona, because we need the entire 12-month period to elapse in the jurisdiction or under the jurisdiction of the husband. So the Ran over here, just on this point where it says o kulam b'fnei ayavam chaser yom echad, or the entire time before the yavam except for one day, the Ran says, what happens if she was actually under the jurisdiction of the Baal for more than 12 months, and then the husband dies without doing the nisuin, and then she falls to the yavam. So the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which the Ran finds to be more mistaber, says that if she does wait for more than 12 months in front of the Baal, and then the Baal dies, then she in fact does eat truma even the rishus of the yavam, because she already started eating in the rishus of the Baal. So once she starts eating the rishus of the Baal, we're not going to suspend. Whereas the Ran then brings down the Shita of Rashi, who says that even if she waited more than 12 months under the jurisdiction of the Baal, we're still going to terminate her zchus to eat truma when she falls to the yavam. All right, but basin shalach reyam amru, back in the Gemara, the basin shalach reyam says, Eina isha ocheles betruma ashe dikane tzuchoba. The woman cannot eat truma until they actually have an asuin. So Amar Le Abaye, oh, so we want to say that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah who says that the husband can be made for her nedarim before they actually have a nesuin, once the designated time for the nesuin arrives, holds like the Mishnah Rishona that says that once the designated time for nesuin arrives, she could eat truma from her husband even though they haven't done the nesuin yet. So says the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye, na dilma lohi. Ad kan lo kashmina Mishnah Rishona. When does the Mishnah Rishona tell me that she's allowed to eat truma? Ela lemeichel betruma drabanan. That's only by eating truma drabanan. So by truma drabanan, we're not going to be choshesh for all of these concerns. Why? Again, because as we explain, once the designated time for the nesuin arrives, she has a special place to eat truma, so we're not afraid she's going to share it. Or he already did a bedika, so we're not afraid that they're going to break the erusin. That's why aval nedarim daraisa emalo. But nedarim, where the whole concept of aforas nedarim for the baal is midaraisa, maybe we wouldn't permit the baal to be mefer until he actually does the nesuin. V'adkan lo shamet le Rav Elezer el adgabe nedarim k'tura pinchas mishmei derava. Diyamar kolon oderes al das baale hin oderes. And maybe the only reason why Rabbi Eliezer says that he can be made for the nedarim is because Rav Pinchas Mishmei Derava says that anybody who's noderes is al das baale hin oderes. Aval truma afilu midrabanan ami lo achla. But maybe by truma, even though it's midrabanan, he wouldn't permit her to eat because by truma he'd be concerned. Maybe she'd feed her siblings the truma, or maybe the erusin will be broken, in which case it'll turn out that they were never really engaged and they were never really entitled to truma. Now, the Ron points out two things important to note, and well, this will conclude that the Chachamim who say it's not the Chachamim don't reject the concept of Kolan Oderes al das Balahi Noderes. The Chachamim and the Mishnah also agree with that, but they say Kolan Oderes al das Balahi Noderes. It's only al das the Baal of a Nesua that she is only al das the Baal from a Nesuan that she's Noderes. The Ron also says that even though we say that kol noderes al das baalahi noderes, that doesn't mean that, let's say she's noderes and says, I'm being noder al das a third party. Can that third party then have the koach to be made for her nedarim? Because kol noderes al das her neighbor he noderes? Says the Ran, no. It's exeris akasav, the psukim tell us about only afaras habal. And it's only afaras habal, it's only the baal who zoche to the afara because of this exeris akasav. It's not that she can stipulate that anybody else, that a random third party, would ever have the koach to be mefer, can be mefer in a derm. So to sum up, we've tried to draw a comparison between the shita of Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishona Lagabe Achilas Truma. We wound up refuting the comparison, and God willing, Rabbi Leibowitz will pick up from the Mishnah on top of Ayin Dalid Amid Aleph. It's been a pleasure learning with all of you, and I look forward to it again next time Rabbi Leibowitz goes on vacation, which hopefully will not be for a very long time.